Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, so today's sermon, I think will be a little bit shorter, but it's a lot more participatory, and you'll see what I mean. And last night when I did it, we have a smaller group gets together on Saturday nights, and we didn't have any guests with us. So it was a little bit easier for me to pull off, but I'm still going to try it anyway, okay? So if you were to look over the lessons, there seems to be a theme that's happening throughout the lesson. So I'm just going to run through this part somewhat quickly. In Exodus chapter 24, this is an account of Moses going up on Mount Sinai, and he receives what from God on Mount Sinai? The Ten Commandments. And if you were to categorize the Ten Commandments with a theme, if you were to say, this is what the Ten Commandments does for us, this is the purpose that God was giving the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, what would that purpose be? Yes, to guide our lives, to give us laws, to give us these sets of laws or rules or words or commandments that help show us if we behave like this, if we do these things, good things will happen. We'll set ourselves apart from everybody else if we follow these laws. And so God gives us guidance for our lives, Miss Hazel. Okay, through these Ten Commandments. Now, we go to even the psalm where you hear that reference, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And that takes us even into the second lesson, which comes, I believe, from 2 Peter. And when Peter is referencing, what is he talking about when he says in that lesson, we heard the voice from heaven say this. What event is he talking about? The transfiguration. I heard a few of you say it. The transfiguration, because today is what? If you don't know, about 50 years ago we had these hymn boards put in, or maybe not. Maybe they were probably a memorial gift, which came later, but it says right up there, transfiguration. Transfiguration. So it's Transfiguration Sunday. Now, Peter's talking about how they were on the mountain with Jesus, and with him they saw Elijah and Moses, and he references that, which I'm going to get into with the gospel. However, it can be a little bit, cause a little bit of pause when, if I were just to say the phrase, where does this come from in the gospels? If I were just to say the phrase, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Because another place in the Gospels, Anita, it comes from is Jesus' baptism. Now, Anita is not allowed to answer any more questions. Okay? Because it's going to be shorter, but you're making it even shorter. Okay? I build this time into the length of my sermons for give and take. Yes. Hazel. Hazel's going to fill in the spot that Anita took with giving answers. She sees a bottle. She's learning to walk. She's like, I just learned to walk. Why would you make me sit down? That seems counterproductive. Yes. So, in Jesus' baptism, Jesus comes out of the water, and depending on which gospel you're reading, either way, we hear the phrase, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. And just like when Moses was on Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments to give us a set of laws to guide our lives, what would you say is the theme? And remember, Anita cannot help you on this, okay? What is the theme behind that story in the Gospels when Jesus is coming out of the waters for his baptism? What would you say goes with, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. It's much quieter when Anita can't talk. I don't know if you realize that. She knows the answer. Say yes, because you can't talk. Yeah, so she knows the answer. She's waiting to give it. what would be a theme, possibly? So we have, in the Ten Commandments, laws for our lives. If mommy's arms were just a little bit longer. And then Marilyn is spitballing it with Paul. What do you think? An introduction. That's really good. This is Jesus' grand introduction. This is who he is. And who is he? He is the what of God? The Son of God. And so we believe that through our baptisms, just like Jesus' baptism, we also become children of God. And when a child is baptized, we announce, it's like almost their new introduction, this is a new child in God. Very good, Paul. We should make you president of the council for that answer. So, yes, for at least like another year and a couple months, yeah. So that brings us to the gospel story for today. All referencing Jesus, and he's up on this mountain, and you have the vision of Moses and Elijah, and then next thing you know, his clothes are brilliantly dazzling white, and he's glowing, he's radiant. You hear this voice from heaven saying, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And what would you say would be the theme? What if you were to see an image of Jesus where he was just brilliantly, radiantly in white and glowing, what part of Jesus's experience with us in the Bible would you say that comes from? What? The Transfiguration. Yes, that's exactly the story we're in. If we were to look beyond that, what would, if you just saw a painting of Jesus and he was brilliantly glowing, the resurrection. So we believe that in this Transfiguration story, that in Matthew 17, we get this glimpse, we get to see this experience of heaven. We get to see this experience of what it's going to be like, the beauty, the glory, the majesty of God in heaven. So now this is the really, if you thought it was participatory before, it wasn't. It is now. My wife is filming me once again because I asked her to, not because she doesn't trust, like, where were you on Sunday morning? I was at church. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. For everyone who feels that they are physically able, on the first Sunday of the month, on Sundays, and we do this every week on Saturday, the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate communion around the altar. And so I know there's more of you than can fit up here, which is why we have tables. So just even if you can come up to this, even this space and around the altar, I'd like it if you were physically capable of doing it to come up and fill up this space physically with your bodies, meaning you have to move, okay? If you're physically capable of it, and the more I hear you whine about it, the more it reinforces why we do it once a month, all right? See, now she can walk. This is all for Hazel. This was not a part of the sermon at all. Hello, hello, hello. Just walk past me, just a guy. Keep going. You got dressed up for this, I like that. He looks good. You? Hello, come on. Smiles, whatever you do, do it with a smile. You're being recorded. Yeah, that's why she's filming. Is it even accurate to say filming anymore? Does film even, you're like capturing digitally? I don't know what that, hello gentlemen. Smile. You have a beautiful haircut, bright yellow shoes. Hello, I remembered the bacon thing, you're good. I played for Cleveland United when it first started and look where it landed me, so just watch out, okay? So, we're up there. We're all up there. You know, wow, look at all of you. It's like a class picture. I'm not even going to ask who the valedictorian is because we all know it's Randy, and she's over in the corner. So, So when we're up at the communion rail, there's a reason that church architecture was built this way, was designed this way over time, was to make you really uncomfortable to put you all up there at once. But it was designed for a reason. So give me some of the feelings you experience when you're around the communion rail, when you have communion around the altar. So just shout it out. Forgiven. What else? Peace. What else? Love. Holy. Family. Would somebody say uncle? Uncle. All right. Wait, what? Humble. You should... Bread. What else? Fed. Fantastic. These are all good things. Do you guys feel closer to one another? I mean, physically, obviously. Do you feel closer to one another when you're up there gathered around the rail? Yes or no, collectively? Yes. Okay. Fantastic. And that's part of the purpose of being up there. Now, for those of you who know some of the symbolism in the church, if you look around the altar, and I feel bad because there's probably just a big empty space in the middle of all of you, is around the altar with the altar rail and all of that. There's a lot of symbolism that goes into that, and I'll give you some of it just to move this along. Part of it is, if you look, there's a lot of eights all over up there. The altar table itself has legs that have eight sides. There's eight sides to the communion rail above you in the honeycomb. There are eights making up an eight-sided structure. And does anyone remember, and I got this from our history book of Christ Evangelical Lutheran Church, what does the eight reference with regard to the altar? No, but that's a good answer. That's also an eight. What else? No, I don't know what you said, but no, it was close. What it symbolizes, according to the book, is the Beatitudes. There are eight Beatitudes. So, the only other thing I want to get you, and in the middle, you can't see it, it was easier. They're fine. I promise you, whatever anger you're feeling, if you're feeling anything with your, it's, the children are absolutely fine. Do not worry about it. You might not feel that way, but they are. If you were to look to get in towards the altar, there are two openings. What are those two openings? Symbolize. Tearing of the curtain. Yes, that's very close. You're on the right path, and I will give it to you just to save all of our parents. The reason, the symbolism of those spaces is to show that everyone has access to the table. Would you agree with that? Does everyone have access to the table? Collectively, I want to hear a better answer. Do you believe everyone has access to the table? Yes. Fantastic. That's what we believe. And when I'm up there serving communion on Saturday night or on Sundays when we have it once a month, I have that sense of community, that sense of family, of being one with all of you up there. However, there's another feeling I get on Saturdays and on Sundays when we do this. When you look out here, don't look at me, but when you look out here, what do you see? Family. That's a great answer. You see family. But what's the difference with the family that we are out here? What's the difference? We are all children of Christ. We got that rounded up. What's the difference? We all have the same belief. Yes, we need to get off that train and jump on a different track. Someone help Karen out and help me out. Because she's going to keep giving answers because she's a hard worker and she'll keep going until we get... What's that? We're all Christians. Yes. God love all of you. Here's the answer. Are the people out here, Pat, who I love, smile at me. Ken, who I love, smile or wave. Are we able to be up there with you? In thoughts, are we physically able to be up there with you? So here is what I feel when we do this, and I've mentioned it before in different sermons, and I don't want you to feel like I'm harping on it, but I am, because I don't want this to just be an idea that I have or that we have, that we share. I want this to be something that we act upon. There is a huge part of me that feels love when I'm up there in that community, in that family. We're all Christians, we're all children of God, and yet there's an equal part of me that looks out at this part of the church and goes, we are not whole up there at all. Because there are people out here who can't get up there. And to me, whether we ask the people who are out here whether it's okay with them, it's not about that. We should want to share that love that we feel up there physically with everybody. And I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but we're going to do something. So, this is a symbol as well. And this will end the sermon. This is a symbol as well. Think of the different parts of your life where you feel good, where you feel love, where you feel companionship and family and friends and all those great things. And I want you this week to be hyper aware and to look around and see, are there people in those same situations for whatever reason who are on the outside who don't get to experience what you do? And if there are, it's our calling and our ministry as Christians to find a way to extend that love and bring everyone into the fold. Amen.